The path of virtue leads to peace. The path of virtue leads to peace. But sin will only bring us strife. But sin will only bring us strife.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you once again in our new episode of our program One Virtue, One Sin, in which we discuss about one virtue, one pious deed, and then in the second half of the program, we discuss about one sin, a pious deed that becomes a means of pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon which a person gains blessings in this world and in the hereafter. And when we talk about a sin, that is an action which brings about the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brings ruin and destruction for a person in this world and in the hereafter. Now today, the topic that we've chosen for you is again a beautiful topic in which we'll be discussing about a beautiful act for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And towards the end, in the second half of the program, we'll talk about a sin, which is again a very evil action, something which is unfortunately quite common in our society, which we ought to refrain from. So the pious deed that we will be discussing today, dear viewers, is the recitation of the glorious Quran. Such a beautiful action, such a beautiful virtue, such a sweet virtue it is, which is a great means of attaining Allah's pleasure. Reciting the Quran, the book of Allah, the source of guidance, the source of our faith. And the sin that we will be covering today is the sin of wailing. When we wail over something upon the passing of someone, or when a calamity inflicts us, so on and so forth, we start wailing, unfortunately. We start crying, we start beating our chest, so on and so forth. So we'll be covering some of the detriments which are found in the act of wailing and how Quran and Hadith instruct us to avoid them. But first half, inshallah, we'll talk about the beautiful virtue of reciting the Quran. But before that, we will listen to a virtue of sending peace and salutations upon our master, the final messenger of Allah, the seal of the prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The noble prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, stated that he who sends salat upon me 1,000 times a day will not die until he sees his abode in paradise. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, we're talking about the virtues of reciting the Quran. Such a beautiful action, such a rewarding action, dear viewers, which is very, very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many excellences have been mentioned in the Quran as well as in Hadith for those who recite the Quran. And how glorious Quran is from the perspective of helping its reciter on the Day of Judgment, when there will be no aid to a person except his own deeds. The Quran will help its own reciter on that very day as well. The Quran will be intercessor for its reciter. Quran is something through which a person gains Allah's proximity. And Quran is something that within its own self, within the Quran, there are verses that mention the greatness of reciting the Quran, the greatness of those who hold firm to the Quran, who learn the Quran, who act upon the Quran, who recite the Quran and attain Allah's pleasure. So let's, dear viewers, first of all talk about some verses of the Quran in which the excellences of Quran have been mentioned. In verse number 121 of Surah Baqarah, Allah Almighty states,
الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ.
Translation from Kanzul Irfan: those to whom we have given the book recited the way it should be recited, these very people believe in it. So dear viewers, in this very verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those people, those who recited, to whom Allah Almighty gave this book. So they are the people who believe in it. Those who recite it, they are the people who believe it. And later in the same verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions about those who reject the Quran, and then Allah Almighty states regarding them that they are the very people who are losers. So again, the Quran becomes a distinguishing factor between those who are successful and those who are losers. As those who are successful, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are fortunate, they are the ones who recite the Quran, they who accept the message of Quran. And then on the other side, there are those who unfortunately reject the Quran and they don't believe in the Quran, so they are the losers. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 45 of Surah Bani Israel,
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
Translation from Kanzul Irfan. Dear beloved Prophet, when you recited the Quran, we placed a concealed veil between you and those who disbelieved in the hereafter. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and telling him that when, O beloved, you recited the Quran, then Allah Almighty placed a veil between him and those who disbelieve in the hereafter. Now again, the action of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is reciting the Quran, is the recitation of the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in verses 29 to 35 of Surah Fatir,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَّن تَبُورَ لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ هُوَ الْحَقُّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِعِبَادِهِ لَخَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ يَدْخُلُونَهَا يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا مِنْ أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَلُؤْلُؤًا وَلِبَاسُهُمْ فِيهَا حَرِيرٌ وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنَ إِنَّ رَبَّنَا لَغَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ الَّذِي أَحَلَّنَا دَارَ الْمُقَامَةِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لا يمسنا فيها نصب ولا يمسنا فيها لغوب.
Translation from Kanzul Irfan. Indeed, those who recite the Book of Allah and establish the prayer and they spend secretly and publicly from the sustenance we have provided them, hoping for a business that will certainly not perish, that He may grant them their full recompense and endow them with even more from His grace. He is most forgiving, most appreciative. And the book which we reveal to you is the truth, confirming that which was revealed before it. Allah is most aware, all seeing concerning His people. Then we made our chosen people inherit the book. So amongst them is he who wrongs himself, and among them is he who is moderate. And among them is he who surpasses in righteousness with the command of Allah. This is the great grace. Gardens of residence which they will enter. They will be made to wear bracelets of gold and pearls therein, and their attire will be silk therein. And they will say, all praises for Allah who removed sorrow from us. Our Lord is most forgiving, most appreciative. He who made us reside in the everlasting abode through His grace, affliction will not befall us therein, and fatigue will not affect us therein. So dear viewers, in these verses we can see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning about the gardens of residence which they will enter. Allah Almighty is mentioning about those fortunate people who will enter paradise, and they will enjoy the blessings in paradise, how the blessings Allah Almighty will endow them with. So these are the rewards for certain people. And right at the beginning, when we started these verses, verse number 29, right from there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those people upon whom these blessings would be showered, which are mentioned later in this chapter. So in the beginning of verse number 29, it is stated, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةَ. So in the beginning, Allah is mentioning those who recite the book of Allah and establish the prayer. And then the discussion continues, and they spend secretly and publicly from the sustenance we provided them. So these three categories of people Allah specifically mentions in verse number 29 of Surah Fatir, where Allah is saying that those who recite the book of Allah, establish the prayer, and give in the path of Allah, give in charity secretly and openly. And then in the subsequent verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the rewards that are showered upon them. So amongst these fortunate people are also those who recite the book of Allah. So dear viewers, we come to know that how fortunate those are who recite the book of Allah Almighty, meaning who recite the Holy Quran. And we also come to know that the rewards which are mentioned in the Quran at various places, the reward of Jannah, the reward of the gardens of Jannah, and other bounties, other blessings, those who will enjoy and cherish these blessings, amongst them are also those who recite the book of Allah, who act upon the book of Allah, as mentioned in the glorious Quran. Let's now try to cover a few ahadith in this relation, where we've been encouraged to recite the Quran, act upon the Quran, understand the Quran, where the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned several excellences of reciting and learning and understanding and acting upon the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu anhu reports from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that recite the Quran, because on the Day of Judgment, the Quran will intercede for its reciters. In another hadith, reported on the authority of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet ﷺ said that fast and Quran will intercede for a person. Fast will say that, O Allah, I stopped him from eating and drinking during the day, thus accept my intercession in his favor. Whereas the Quran will say that, O Lord Almighty, I kept him from sleeping at night, thus accept my intercession in his favor. So the intercession of both of them, meaning fast and Quran, will be accepted for that very person. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu reports from the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that the Quran will intercede and its intercession will be accepted, and it will quarrel in the favor of his reciter, and it will be testified to, and he who keeps the Quran in front of him, keeps his Quran in view, then the Quran will lead him to paradise, and he who puts it, meaning the Quran, behind his back, then it will hurl him into hell. The fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, reports from the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that the one who recited the Quran, then remembered it, considers its halal to be halal and haram to be haram, then Allah will enter him into paradise, and his intercession would be accepted in the favor of such 10 family members of him upon whom hell would have become wajib. This is the greatness of a person who recites the Quran, memorizes it, considers its halal to be halal and haram to be haram, that not only Allah will admit him into paradise, but his intercession would also be accepted in favor of 10 such family members of him upon whom hell would have become wajib. Allahu Akbar. The third caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, states that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that the best amongst you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it to others. Now in this hadith, dear viewers, we are being told that who is the best person amongst all of us? The one who learns the Quran and teaches it to others. And regarding understanding the message of Quran, the Prophet ﷺ has also shed great emphasis on this. As in one narration, Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, O Abu Dharr, for you to go in the morning to learn one verse of the Book of Allah is better than offering 100 rak'ahs. And for you to go in the morning to learn one chapter of ilm, of knowledge, whether it is acted upon or not, is better than offering 1,000 rak'ahs. Now, dear viewers, how greatly we are told in this very hadith that what is the importance of acquiring the knowledge of deen, understanding the message of Quran, one verse of Quran, better than offering 100 rak'ahs, and learning one chapter of deen better than offering 1,000 nawafil. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Ma'ath radiallahu anhu reports from the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that he who recites the Quran and acted upon it, on the day of judgment, his parents would be made to wear such a crown whose light would be even more than the light of the sun. So what do you think about the one who acts upon the Quran? Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of judgment, the reciter of Quran would come, he would arrive, and the Quran will say that, O Allah, O Lord Almighty, make him wear a robe. So he'll be made to wear a robe of nobility. Then the Quran will say that, O Lord, increase in this. So he'll be made to wear a crown of nobility. Then the Quran will say that, O Lord, be pleased with him. Then Allah Almighty will be pleased with him. Then the Quran reciter will be told that keep reciting the Quran and keep elevating the ranks of paradise. And upon every verse, he would be given one blessing. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports from the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that ghibta can be performed only upon two people, like the positive form of envy. When we positively become envious of someone, meaning we feel good of them, we don't have any ill feelings in our heart, and we wish the same for us as well, without having any negative feelings in our hearts. So ghibta can be done only upon two people. One is he who was taught Quran by Allah and he recites it day and night, and his neighbor says that only if I was also given the ability of Quran like so and so, then I would also act upon it in the same way. And the second person is he who is given wealth by Allah Almighty and he spends it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and another person says that only if I was also given wealth like such and such person, and I could have also acted in the same way as he is acting. So dear viewers, we come to know the importance and excellence of reciting the Quran, that what a beautiful action it is, and how greatly accepted it is in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As in one narration, it is also stated that there is no other action besides the Quran through which we can attain Allah's proximity. And then at one occasion, the Prophet ﷺ stated that there are some people who are muqarrab of Allah, meaning they're close to Allah. And the Sahaba, they asked the Prophet ﷺ that who are they? Then the Prophet ﷺ said that they are Ahlul Quran. They are the people of Quran. They are the muqarrab, close people to Allah and His chosen servants. Allahu Akbar. So dear viewers, the recitation of Quran determines between being a chosen servant of Allah and non-chosen servant of Allah, being close to Allah and being not close to Allah. This is an action, dear viewers, that brings about many, many blessings of this world and of the hereafter. So reciting the Quran, understanding it and acting upon it, very, very important for us. May Allah allow us to recite the Quran for His sake. May Allah Almighty allow us to understand the message of Quran and also act upon it. Now, dear viewers, let's talk about the sin that we are going to cover in today's episode, which is wailing. where we start complaining and wailing and act all impatient at the fall of any calamity or any passing of someone, so on and so forth. Now, wailing has severely been condemned in a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has strictly warned us against this evil act. A hadith of Sahih Muslim states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that I'm detested from that person who swears a false oath and who tears his clothes upon the passing of someone, and he who steals. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam stated that a wailing woman, she will be resurrected from her grave in such a state that her hair will be scattered and dusty, and upon her would be a shirt of itch, a shawl of Allah's curse, and an attire of tar. And she would have her hands upon her chest, and she would be screaming, saying, "Oh, destruction!" And the angels would say, "Ameen." And then that wailing woman, as a recompense, would be given the fire of hell. That's how serious it is to your views. And unfortunately, it is commonly observed in our society where this action is practiced. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that the one who wails and the one who listens to the wailer, upon both of them is the curse of Allah. That's how serious it is, serious. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, the two voices that are disliked in the court of Allah Almighty. Number one, the voice of a wailer at the time of calamity, and the voice of musical instruments at the time of joy. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam stated, the three things are equal to kufr. Number one, tearing clothes. Number two, scratching your hair, or said that beating your cheeks. And number three, wailing. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that the one who slaps his face, tears his clothes, and wails like the time, the age of ignorance, is not from us, meaning is not upon our path. So dear viewers, these are very severe admonitions and warnings that we find in hadith traditions regarding those who wail. This act, unfortunately, is prevalent in our society, where we see upon smallest of the calamities, unfortunately, people, they start wailing. People, they start becoming impatient and uttering different kind of words. Words of ingratitude. Words of complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we've seen that how much this act is condemned in hadith. One noble elder asked Sayyidina Hasan Basri rahimahullah that during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, did Muhajir women also wail? To which Sayyidina Hasan Basri rahimahullah replied that no. And then he said that by Allah, one woman came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam crying, whose father, son and brother had been martyred in a war. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked her that what calamity has made you cry? To which she said that all men of my house have died. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to her that if you observe patience, for you is paradise. Then she said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that when there's paradise for me, then I will observe patience. I won't cry then. So this shows us, dear viewers, that wailing is against patience, and patience again is a beautiful trait that we will cover in some other episode inshallah. But patience is something that is very praiseworthy attribute, something that a believer should possess. But someone who wails, they do not have patience. They are impatient in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they utter so many statements which are against patience, which are inappropriate statements. So we need to make sure that we stay away from wailing. Whenever a calamity strikes us, we should be patient in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and always be pleased with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. Always pray for well-being, always pray for goodness. But in case something befalls us, always be content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not wail, do not complain, do not utter words of complaint. Otherwise, there's destruction for us in this world and in the hereafter, as this is equal to being impatient. And whilst a person is impatient, he utters so many phrases which he shouldn't. So this is something which is very, very detrimental for our faith and for our worldly life as well as our afterlife. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah Almighty allow us to recite the Quran wholeheartedly, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also allow us to refrain from wailing and being impatient. Ameen. Bijahi Khatam al-Nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The path of virtue leads to peace. The path of virtue leads to peace. But sin will only bring us strife. But sin will only